you have your Bibles this morning, I would ask you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. Luke, chapter number 1. We're going to begin reading in verse number 39 this morning. Luke, chapter 1, verse number 39. Now, this morning we're going to primarily deal with two people, two characters, Mary and Elizabeth. And those will be the two people that we deal with primarily this morning in the message. So I'm going to ask you again one more time to stand in honor of God's word as we read from verse 39 down through verse 56. The Bible says in verse 39, "Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken of to her by the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoken as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever.' And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home." Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we bow before you, understanding this morning, Father, your greatness and your might, your power. Father, we also understand our weakness and our limitations and our inabilities. And Father, that we have no power over this life. Father, that we can be taken out of this life at any time. And Father, we rejoice to know that you are in control. We rejoice to know of your mighty hand, your mighty works. And Father, we rejoice to know that this morning in this passage of Scripture, your mighty works are going to be revealed once again. And we thank you and we praise you for that. But Father, we understand that your mighty works are not just a thing of the past, that you work mightily in each of our lives. And so, Father, we pray this morning that you would take these words, and I pray that you would use them for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. And Father, challenge us from your word, for we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, we just have recently started our study in the book of Luke, and we began in, of all places, chapter 1, verse 1, which is a pretty good starting spot if you're going to start a study in a book at the very beginning. And we began to look in that in the passage there, and Luke begins to tell us why he's writing what he is writing here. He has a dear friend by the name of Theophilus. Theophilus is a man of some position, some power, but he's a skeptic when it comes to the things about Jesus Christ. He has been told about Jesus and his miracles. He's been told about the death on the cross and the resurrection. He is somewhat skeptical about these things. So Luke, in very orderly fashion, doing great researches, going back, talking to eyewitnesses of the accounts of these various things, says he put together an orderly accounting of the life of Jesus Christ so that you, O Theophilus, can know for certain the things that I have shared with you and what you've heard about Jesus Christ. So he kind of nails it down for Theophilus. And he begins to tell the story of Jesus. He begins to tell the story from the very beginning, how all this came to be. It is interesting that he starts off not with Jesus, but he starts off with the birth or the foretelling of the birth of John the Baptist. In fact, the first passage of Scripture we dealt with, there's a simple priest by the name of Zacharias. He and his wife are elderly. There's no way they're going to have children. They have not had children to this point, and they are very up in years, very elderly. He is simply called to Jerusalem to do his part in service in the temple in Jerusalem. In the midst of that service, in the temple, burning incense before the Lord, the angel Gabriel appears and tells him that he's going to have a son. His wife is going to conceive, and they're going to have a son, and his name will be John. And he will be the forerunner of the Messiah, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And we remember how we looked at that passage of Scripture and how John doubted whether that could really take place. Now, really, we're old. Old people don't have children. And so he doubts what Gabriel says, and Gabriel strikes him to where he cannot speak for the entirety of the pregnancy. Now, that probably is a good thing if you have been married and you your husband normally during the midst of the pregnancy somewhere is going to say something out of the way. And you're going to get offended. You're going to get hurt. There's going to be tears and all that. Well, Elizabeth didn't have to worry about that because Zacharias can't speak. And so for 9 months, she has peace and quiet in the home. And the angel told her that she was going to have a son. For 5 months, she does not share it with anyone. She just kind of keeps quiet. And then the Bible tells us of the story of Gabriel coming to Mary. Now, what we're going to be looking at today is going to tie these stories together. So the reason I'm recapping all of this information. Because then Gabriel comes and shows up to Mary. Now, we said last week about Mary. Mary was most likely a young girl in that culture. It'd be odd in our culture, but in that culture, she was betrothed at age probably somewhere between 12 and 16. She is a young girl. The angel comes and tells her that God will overshadow her. She will have a son, and she doesn't understand. I mean, how can this be? He says, I'm pretty well a rural kid. I'm a country girl, so to speak. I live in a very small town of a couple hundred people, probably at the most. And I have never been taught to read or write, most likely in that culture. She has not learned to read or write. Said, I don't know a whole lot, but I understand how pregnancy takes place. And usually virgins don't give birth. And Gabriel explains that the Spirit will come upon her and she would be with child. Now, last week we looked at all of that and how that in the midst of those most unbelievable circumstances, Mary believes God and believes that what has been told her will indeed take place. Now, as we come to chapter 1, verse number 39, Mary sets out on a journey because while the angel is talking to Mary, the angel says, by the way, you've got a cousin that's up in years, and she who has been barren all this time will be having a child. And it is now her 6th month. Now, I want you to notice with me as we walk through this passage of Scripture together. Notice verse 39. Now, at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country. Now, this is a pretty shocking event. Now, just imagine this. This girl illiterate at best, country girl, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, heads out to her cousin's house. Now, we're not talking about heading across town, go down one block, up two blocks, and over a block, and there's your cousin's house. We're talking, she is heading from the region around Galilee in Nazareth all the way down to Judea, probably some 60 to 100 miles. There's no evidence given in Scripture where anyone went with her. It's very odd that a girl that young would take off on such a journey. And that we don't know if she went by foot. We don't know if she went on a donkey or how she got there. But it was several days' journey. But she takes off immediately after Gabriel's visit. Within a matter of days, she heads off to go see Elizabeth. Now, notice what it says. It says, now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Now, here's what I want you to gain from this. You have it on your study guide. There is great value in sharing your journey with others. And I don't think we as Christians get that. Here is Mary going through something that is shocking to her. Do you imagine she was a little bit scared? Do you imagine that there's no one in her hometown that really believes much that an angel showed up and talked to you? Do you imagine that maybe she's already catching flack from those people around her that... something's fishy going on here. And she says, I need somebody that is like-minded, of a deep faith in God that I can talk with. And she heads off to see Elizabeth because the angel's already told her that Elizabeth is with child. She's already 6 months into a pregnancy. Surely, if there's anybody that can relate to me, it's Elizabeth. And she understands that sharing and being able to talk through these things with Elizabeth is a good thing. Now, let me kind of change that picture just a little bit. That is still true today. That is still true of us. That is still true for Christians in this day and age. Because if we keep by ourselves, we isolate ourselves from other Christians. We begin to think we're the only one that's ever going through a trouble or a trial or a difficulty. We're the only one that has to struggle with these things. And we begin to get so inwardly focused that we're of no good of reaching people for the kingdom. So I want to challenge you, and this is a good time to do it, is I want to challenge you to be a part of the 10 o'clock hour here. Sunday school and connect groups. Because in this setting right here, you can remain totally anonymous. You don't get to know anyone. No one really gets to know you. But in the small group setting, we have wonderful discussion in our little group that we have, and we begin to know the heartbeat of the people that are in that group, what burdens them, what hurts them, what harms them, what encourages them, their encouragement to us. We encourage each other, and we're built up together. And I believe that Mary understood that same basic principle when she heads off to meet with Elizabeth. In fact, in just a moment, we're going to see as they get together what an encouragement it is and what begins, listen, maybe it was going to begin to be, what color do you think I need to build, do the nursery in? You know, I've been looking at these things down at the market, and they would look so good in the baby's room. I entitled this message, When Baby Talk Turns to Worship, because maybe they were intended to do some talking about the babies. But before this thing is over, they are so encouraged that worship, spontaneous worship, takes place in their midst. So I'm going to challenge you. If you said, well, I used to go to Sunday school, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, that's the problem. You're not there to get anything out of it. You're there to put something in it. I mean, really, I need somebody to pour into my life just like you need somebody to pour into your life. And so let me challenge you to do that. Number two on your study guide. There's not only great value in sharing your journey together, but there's great value in the life of an unborn child. Now, I very rarely ever mention the subject of abortion and that sort of thing, but this is a wonderful opportunity in Scripture to address that issue right here. If you'll look with me at verse number 41, when Mary comes to see Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's something taking place in the womb of Elizabeth. Elizabeth is only 6 months long. She's not 9 months. She's not getting ready to give birth that day. 6 months along, the moment Mary arrives and greets Elizabeth, the baby leaps. Now, you say, well, Brother Mike, I have my own view on abortion. I don't care what view we have on abortion. Let's let the Scripture teach us. And what is going on here, you have a writer by the name of Luke who is a physician. Now, as he's writing, and the Holy Spirit is inspiring him to write, he says, let me tell you something about what's going on in the womb. The baby leaped. The baby knew something more than what was just going on in the womb. That's right. Now, I don't pretend to be an expert on medical issues, but I do know that the Holy Spirit is an expert on spiritual issues. And something happens that causes that baby to leap in the womb. So I just want to say that the unborn child has great value. I don't know when life begins. I assume it begins at the moment of conception. But that's God's issue. And I'm going to stand with that. That's all I can say. Because here's a little boy that's 6 months old, or less than six, or right at 6 months old in the womb. Not even born yet. And he leaps in the womb. You know what would have happened to Mary in our day? There would probably have been people advising Mary. Wow. You're single. You're illiterate. You're poor. You need to get rid of this problem you've got. There might have been people advising Elizabeth. Wow, Elizabeth, don't you know that you're way on up in age and the chance of you having a healthy baby? You need to get rid of that baby. And asked her to abort. But those people do not know who resides in the womb. They don't know that John the Baptist is about to be born in 3 months, and that Jesus will say of John the Baptist, there's not been a greater born of woman than John the Baptist. They do not know that that individual, that child Mary is carrying, is coming to be the Savior of the world. There is great value in the life of the unborn child. Number three, there is great value in the prophecy of Elizabeth. And yes, I said prophecy of Elizabeth. Now, the moment Mary comes in and greets her, things begin to happen. Look at verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. How much of the Holy Spirit is that? I don't know, but it was enough to feel. Completely feel. That's a lot. It gets awful quiet in here when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? it filled her with the Holy Spirit. Now, if it filled her with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in one place, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. The idea is there to be ultimately, totally controlled. So when it says in this passage of Scripture that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, what she's about to speak is under the influence and the control of the Holy Spirit, right? So it has the sanction of God on it, right? So she is prophetically going to speak some things that are true. Now look at verse number 42. And she cried out with a loud voice. I wonder if she'd ever cried out with a loud voice like this before. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And now, how has it happened that to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Now, here's where I think this thing is very interesting. We don't know what kind of greeting Mary gave her. There are some authors that believe that she went through the whole thing with Elizabeth and told her every detail of what the angel had said. But by the sheer definition of the word, it means just to give a salutation, to greet and say, I'm here, basically. You know what I believe happened? I believe the Holy Spirit revealed to Elizabeth immediately why Mary was there. Now, just think about this. You're in that culture. For a single girl to be pregnant would be one of the most great, one of the greatest shames that could on a family. Read those verses again. Is there anything in the verse 42 through verse 45 that looked like she's ashamed of Mary? No, I believe she is speaking under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, and she is saying what the Holy Spirit reveals to her, which is exactly what had really happened, that Gabriel had appeared to her, and basically that now she has within her womb the very Son of God. Now, I don't know a whole lot about pregnancy, so forgive me if I'm kind of ignorant. I know we had two children, but, you know, I'm just the dad, you know, that sort of thing. But anyway, here is Mary within a few days of receiving the message from Gabriel. Does she have a baby bump yet? No, probably not. What is so amazing to me that immediately she believes exactly what the angel said, comes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth begins to, what we would call prophesy, give blessing to her. Listen to the thing she says. Letter A. Mary, she gives a blessing that basically says, Mary has been highly favored of God. Blessed are you among women. In other words, you have been blessed beyond all other women of the earth to receive this opportunity to bear the child Jesus. Now remember, Luke is writing to Theophilus. He's writing to the skeptic, and he's telling him exactly what the eyewitnesses have told him about how this came to be. So he says, Mary, you've been highly favored by God. Let her be. The baby that you are carrying, or she is carrying, is also blessed or favored. But the blessing that Mary has is a different blessing than the blessing that Jesus carries. Because we're going to hear a whole lot more about Jesus. We're not going to hear a whole lot more about Mary. We're not going to hear about how she reigns and how she is Lord and all of that. No. But we're going to hear a whole lot more about Jesus in these following verses. The third thing, letter C, again, let me remind you, children are a blessing from the Lord. Children are a blessing from the Lord. And she just kind of confirms that and said, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Letter D. Elizabeth calls the child in Mary's womb, Lord. Wait a minute now. We're my medical experts here. At a few days, maybe a week, how big is the baby? Is it tiny? This big? Anybody? I mean, that big. At a few days, Elizabeth says, he's my Lord. Now listen, Elizabeth has not yet seen him born. Elizabeth has not yet seen him raise the dead. Elizabeth has not yet seen him heal the sick, cause the blind to see, cause the lame to walk, has not seen him go to the cross of Calvary, has not seen him resurrect or raise from the dead, has not seen him ascend to the Father. And she says, he's my Lord. Is that it? In the womb. And she says, let me let you in on a little secret. Within the womb of Mary resides the Lord. That's awesome. That is awesome. And that had to be a revelation from God. She would have never been able to come up with that on her own. Letter E. The child in Elizabeth's womb, leaps for joy when Mary's greeting is heard. Now, this is the part that's amazing to me. Does anybody remember what Luke chapter 1, verse 15 says about John the Baptist? He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Okay. Mary comes, says something to Elizabeth, like, howdy, I don't know. Something to Elizabeth. Within Elizabeth, suddenly the baby jumps. We have on record the very smallest worship leader ever. We have on record the first in utero worship leader. Within, he gives it, we don't know if he was dancing, jumping, praising, exactly what it was, but Elizabeth knows something going on. And he worships the Lord in such a way that it impacts Elizabeth. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she, in turn, also is worshiping him as Lord. Letter F. Mary is considered blessed because she believed. Now, this goes right back to what we talked about last week, verse 45. And blessed is she. Now, this is Elizabeth speaking. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. I'm not an expert on pregnancy. I don't know if she's even had a chance to begin to get morning sick. You know? But something has convinced Mary that what the angel said was going to take place is indeed taking place, and she's willing to risk a 60 to 100 mile journey by herself to go talk to Elizabeth about it. Why? Because she believed what the angel said was true. Convinced of it. And by the way, it is true because she is going to give birth. And we're going to read about that in the weeks ahead. But she believed, and she is considered blessed because she believed. Number four, very quickly. There is also great value in true worship born out of true belief. Now, just follow Mary's song, if you will, in verse 46 through 55. Just listen to Mary's song, and as you begin to read through Mary's song, what you're going to find out is, though Mary is most likely illiterate, can't read or write, She is light years ahead of us on understanding theology. I don't know if it was just in the times that she was around the rabbis in the small town she was in, or times they may have gone to Jerusalem for the festivals, but she, embedded in this are Old Testament scriptures, Old Testament references, and she has taken the Word of God and hidden it in her heart. Letter A, He is both Lord and Savior. Verse 46, and Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. She goes on and said, letter B, He regards the humble. Verse 48, for He has regard for the humble state of His bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. Do you know what she's doing? She's doing something that you and I very seldom do. She's beginning to think there's a whole wide world out there. Millions of people. And yet God reached down and chose one to bear His Son. Not because she deserved it. I mean, she's illiterate. She's poor. She's a small town. Everything that you could think of would say, she doesn't deserve it. And she didn't deserve it. But He chose her. He regards the humble. It would be wise for you and I to say, God, why did you give me an opportunity for salvation when there are millions across this world that have never heard? There are millions that don't have the opportunity. There are millions that didn't have the opportunity that I had as a small boy to be in church service and be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ over and over and over again. He has regard for the humble. I love these verses. Look at verse 48. For He has regarded the humble state of His bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. Look at verse 52, the latter part. And He has exalted those who were humble. Look at verse 53. And has filled the hungry with good things. Here's the difference. Here's the difference. The humble come to Jesus and say, I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of the anguish. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of the distress. I humble myself. Can you help me? We're going to see that in opposition or opposite of that, He takes down the proud. And this is how the proud come. Hey, aren't you hurting? Aren't you hurting? Aren't you hungry? Don't you need something? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. All the while, just like coming upon the guy in the middle of the desert, stuffing his mouth with sand and pebbles. No, I'm fine. And it'll never satisfy. The world is full of people who will not humble themselves before God and say, there's got to be more to this than just me, mine, and this life. And humble themselves before the Lord. And let the Lord give them that which will satisfy. Amazing. Letter C, He brings glory to His name, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. He is separate. He is distinct. He is the Mighty One. He is beyond. Wait a minute. This is not coming from a wise old sage who has studied the scripture for years. This is coming from a 13 or 14 year old girl. Think about that. Letter D. He has mercy on those who fear Him. I love this part because I read this example. It's not original with me. You ever heard of those goats that will pass out if you scare them? I mean, like, you know, that they would like, bonk. Okay? You put those in a petting zoo or something, and every guy becomes macho suddenly. I think I can make them pass out. Boo. Whatever. Try to scare them. And the... let's change it a little bit. Let's swap one of them out with a lion. What guy's going to walk in there and say, boo? Because suddenly that boo might become, oh, you're my lunch. There is great fear there. Here's what I know is happening across this world today. There is a lack of fear of Almighty God. There's a lack of reverence for who He is. We think we can just walk up to Him and boo, and you can fall over out of the way. Do not take the mercy and patience of God for weakness. Because He is later described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And He will rule and reign. And He will have His say. I'm afraid there's too many that don't fear Him. Don't recognize that we're not dealing with some little magic show. We're not dealing with something that we can control. What's so magnificent is the God of all ages has come on the scene here. That's what's magnificent about it. It's not how great is Mary. It's not how great Elizabeth is. It's not how great John the Baptist is going to be. But the God of all ages shows up. And that makes this scene important. Letter E. He brings down the proud. Verse 51. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. Thinking they're in control. Hey, I control my own life. I do what I want to. Oh, really? You do what you want to? Extend your life when they say you have no more life. The only person to do that is God. He has brought down rulers from their throne and exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. Then letter F, He keeps His promises. He has given help to Israel, His servant. He had promised to give help to Israel, His servant, in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers and to Abraham and his descendants forever. So very quickly, let's go through the pattern here that we have in this passage. God speaks. Mary listens, obeys, and submits herself. God blesses. Mary praises. Okay. You know what happens many times on Sunday morning when there's a lack of praise? It's not because God hasn't spoken. It's not because God hasn't blessed. It's because we haven't submitted ourselves to Him. Mary simply responds in obedience to Him. And before you know it, baby talk is left in the rearview mirror. Praise has taken over. That ought to be what marks our life as praise.